I'm going to read today from the 11th chapter of Mark in the New Testament, St. Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 22. 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. 23. For verily I say unto you that whoso shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's all say amen to the word of God. And we're going to worship the Lord here today. Again, I'm not going to let the tide of worship down here today. Hallelujah. There should be worship while the Word of God is being preached. There should be response and worship while the Scripture is being read. And while we are moving into the Word of the Lord, there should be a general spiritual stage set for what is about to happen. I want to preach to you today about the miracle power of the Lord. He is a worker of miracles, not in the past, but in the present. He is a God who is near at hand, a God who is not afar off. Amen. I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about his power to deliver today. I want to talk about his power to remove the mountain today. But I don't want to get up here and do it by myself. Don't leave me up here by myself. When it comes time to preach, you ought to be right out there worshiping the Lord. You ought to be preaching the word of the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's all I need. Oh, he's all. Be seated. Praise the Lord. Now, we are not so concerned here today with what the critic says or with what the agnostic has said. We are definitely concerned today with what the Word of God has to say. Because now, heaven and earth will pass away, and men and women will pass away. The Word of the Lord will never pass away. David said, the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the sinner. Every word of God is pure, the scripture says. Thy word, O Lord, O God, is forever settled in heaven. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled. So the word of God is correct, it's sound, it's going to come to pass. The prophetic content of it is going to be fulfilled. You can be sure that it will come to pass just as he said it would. Just because men and women may doubt the word of God does not take away from it, does not remove the veracity of the word of God, does not take away the density of its intention and its power. It's still the same. It's a wonderful thing to be able to trust the word of God. You know that it's possible for us in our carnal minds to, regardless of what you call yourself, regardless of what church you're supposed to be an attender of, people sometimes lose confidence in the Word of God. One reason is because they don't love it. And if you don't love the Word of God, you're not going to receive the strength that it has for you. Another reason is because so many of them never hear it. You know, it's hard to love something you're not acquainted with. It's hard to love an old girl you never did see. You know, I've heard of folks that had a real old-fashioned love at first sight. But sight was quite an important factor. It always was with me. I like to see what I was going to love. And I think that a lot of times we get the idea that God's Word is old-fashioned and old-fogied and it's way off somewhere and belongs to another age, and we're trying to drag it up here 2 millenniums removed from a Calvary and make it work. No, no. It was built to work. It was built to work today in 1975. We're not trying to take some word that was given for some other day and revitalize it, renew it, change it, remold it, and make it work now. This was built for then and now. You see, everything man makes has to be changed because man's mind is changing, and when he grows into a different realm of thinking, he decides that other things could have been done. That's why we've stopped playing washboards and gone to playing electric organs. And that's why I used to beat on an old tin can and make a lot of music, and that was satisfactory. But somebody got a bright idea and made a piano with strings and a soundboard and felt hammers, because man is progressing in his ability to create. And there's a limit, of course, to what he can create. But you see, God doesn't have to progress because God is God. He doesn't have to get bigger because he is big. He doesn't have to get greater because he's great. Now, I know that what God does to us is greater and greater, but he knows the end from the beginning, had it planned in the first place, and he doesn't have to experiment on us or any other dispensation in order to bring about a proper redemption of the soul. God knew what he was doing when he gave the law. He held in suspension the unrighteousness of man, held it until a Calvary. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But that wasn't a mistake. God didn't go ahead and make a plan and then see that it didn't work and say, well, that just didn't work. He knew it wouldn't work. When he gave it, he knew it wouldn't work to the saving of their souls. He didn't make it so it would save them. He gave them a religious order that they could walk by and go by until a proper sacrifice would come in the fullness of time. The law was given so that grace could be ministered to them in a dispensation of time when there was no grace. He gave them a holding time. Every sacrifice looked forward to Calvary, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And so everything that was done with a plan. It wasn't a mistake. I want to bring back again your strong confidence, and I want to gain back today your required feeling in the Word of God in order to receive the blessings that it foretells for those who believe it. Hallelujah. What if some do not believe? Does their unbelief make the Word of God to none effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Word of God is going to be true regardless of what men say. I say the Word of God is going to be true regardless of what preachers say. The Word of God is going to be true regardless of what anybody says. Regardless of what devils say. Regardless of what the demons say. Regardless of what centuries and history says. God's Word shall not pass away. Amen. And it's alive and real for us today. If the Word of God is a misplaced item, written for centuries ago, tried to be made real for a day that we're living in now, then we are mistaken to accept any of it. If it isn't good for us at all, then it isn't good any of it for us. We should not try to live by a rule that we have to personally or physically or humanly revise. If God made a law that's not fitting and man interprets it in his own natural thinking, then that law is no longer God's law, but is rather man's appreciation of it or man's criticism of it. I want to say again that the Word of God is not necessarily what a man says it is. And the Word of God is not necessarily what I say it is. The Word of God is the Word of God, regardless of what anybody says it is. And that Word is not going to pass away. That's why it's so important for there to be a spirit about the preaching of the Word of God. That's why lectures won't do what preaching will do. That's right. He chose by the foolishness of preaching. Do you know what preaching means? It means to expostulate with and to offer with bombast an article of truth. It doesn't mean just to say it. It is to preach it. To preach is not just to tell. To preach is to give with utterance, to give with unction, to give with a spiritual fervor, to give something with fervence and vigor away from your heart to someone else's heart. The reason for that is that somewhere between the mind of the preacher and the mind of the hearer, God intended to intercept the thought and give to it the actual and the true spirit of its writing. And that, in fact, is anointing. Hallelujah. Anointing is not how I act when I preach. Anointing is what the Spirit does with the Word. Amen. I'm preaching today that Jesus said to disciples in his day, you can say to this mountain. I'm not sure whether he gestured to a physical mountain. I'm not sure that if he turned around and looked at a boulder. I don't know if he waved his hand over across Gennesaret and pointed toward the skyline and the horizon, and they could see the lofty peaks of Pisgah and others. I'm not sure just where he was pointing or what he was looking at. He may very well have been motioning toward a physical mountain. He was, however, speaking a spiritual thought. He was doing that, I know, because of the illustration he's already given. He had already cursed a tree day before. He came back by the tree this day, and the tree was withered away. They said, Lord, the tree that thou cursest is withered away. Now, the tree was the subject, not the mountain. The tree. Let's all say tree. The tree was the mountain. That's right. The tree was the article, in fact, because they were looking at a tree. And so whether he motioned toward another mountain or not, he was illustrating back to the tree, which was actually a problem. It was a problem when he looked on it and there wasn't any fruit. And he said, no man eat anything on you from henceforth forever. It was a problem. When they came back by, it was the matter of subject or the subject matter. And there it was, a dead tree dried up from the roots. And he said, there it is, that's true. And they said, Lord, the tree that thou cursest is withered away. He didn't comment. He didn't say, yes, sir, I've got power to do that three times a day. I can do that all week long. He didn't do that at all. He simply used that example and taught them the lesson he intended to teach them when he caused the deed to be done. I've preached to this congregation before that he cursed a perfectly good tree. That's right. You say there wasn't any fruit on it. There wasn't supposed to be any fruit on it. The time of figs was not yet. It wasn't even time for figs. He didn't curse the tree only because it didn't bear fruit. He cursed the tree because there was a lesson to be taught. When it came back by the tree that was not even in harvest, now it was a dead tree. He was showing them that with a word, he could speak to a situation and cause it to change. He spoke to a living tree and caused it to die. Now he was the creator. I believe that without him was not anything made that was made. He knew how many trees he had made. He knew there were enough trees to go around. He killed one of them to give them an example. Hallelujah. He was showing them that he had the power to change a circumstance, a situation, from what it is now to what it can be, or what he chooses for it to be. He was trying to show them that they could change he could change the atmosphere of a situation. He was showing them that he could change time, if you please, and natural happenings. He could raise up the dead. And then he could cause things that live to die. Isn't that so? He has power that can reverse itself, revert itself. That's right. Enlarge itself or be itself. He was the mighty God in flesh. He was not just a man roaming around here for 33 and a half years looking for something new to do. He was not just one of the late Israeli prophets. He was not just one of the latter day men who came because the prophet said he had to come. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the mighty God robed in flesh. The scripture says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, unto God's self. You say, which God? The only God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. How many gods are there? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. That God, that one God, took the form of man and walked among us. His flesh we call the Son of God. But the very nature of his being is the mighty God. He was the veil that hid the glory and the Shekinah, as it were. And when his body was torn, the veil was rent in twain, and the glory of God was loosed to the whole world. That's why redemption is free, because the veil, his body, was broken. He wasn't the second person of anything. He is the only person of the Godhead. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him. Praise God.
That's right.
And he's the one that said, you can say to this mountain. He transferred the power here. He changed it from his own personal ability to do it and gave it to them. You say, that's terribly dangerous. Well, it has to operate by faith. And if you got faith, you can't possibly be using something that is of faith. If you please, it's hard to take something that's of faith and pervert it. It's hard to take something that has a glorious base like trusting in God and use it for the devil. Now, I've known people that had faith that prayed for the sick, did other things, and didn't live correctly. But I believe at the time they were offering faith to God for something to be done, that they were offering a pure faith to God. And I believe that's why God did the work and does the work. That's right. I believe it's possible for a man who doesn't know the Lord to call on the name of the Lord and get help. If that's not true, then no sinner could ever be saved, because he hears the voice of a sinner. That's right. In the day that you call on me with all your heart, he said, I'll be heard of you. I'll be found of you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Ask, it shall be given to you. If a sinner couldn't find God, then there'd be no use for any of us ever to have prayed. But I believe that God can hear a sinner's prayer. Not only for salvation, but I've prayed for people who didn't know the Lord at all. When they were sick in their bodies, I've prayed for them in the name of Jesus, and I have seen them healed by the power of God. Those people went right on living the kind of life they'd lived before and never did turn their heart and life over to God, to my knowledge. I grieved about that, but I am of the understanding that if a man offers pure faith to God, regardless of what he does otherwise with his life, God hears and understands and answers a faith prayer. He works on the currency of faith. You can get anything out of the bank of heaven you want with faith. You say, Lord, I believe that. It'll come to pass. If that's so then with others, how much more so is it with God's own children when they come to him and ask him for something? Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I need this thing to be done. I want to preach about mountains today. I think he must have been talking about that tree. More likely, he was pointing at some physical mountain. And even more real than that, he was not talking about anything physical. He was only using those physical things to illustrate the more spiritual things. He's not speaking of just picking up the Tetons and moving them to the east. He's not talking about a man just trying to stop an avalanche by holding out his arms. He's not talking about a man just standing up and trying to tie the winds at his feet. He's not trying to get you to do something just to support your own mind. He's not trying to get you to do something just to show your own ability. Amen. God was trying here to show you that if you get in the heart of God and God gets in your heart, there are things that you can require of God and God will bring them to pass. There are things that you may need from God and you can cause them to happen by faith in his name. Not by faith in yourself, not by just a showmanship, not by just getting under a spotlight or getting into some sensational situation, but God wants to be the deliverer of his people. He wants to be the shepherd to whom the sheep come. He wants to be the mighty deliverer for those who are in trouble. He wants to be the healer of all your diseases. He wants to be the succor for you in need. He wants to be your lawyer in a courtroom, your doctor in a sick room. God wants to be your all-sufficient one. He wants to be the El Shaddai of your life. He wants to be all and in all to you. He doesn't want you to need anybody else. He wants you to trust only in the Lord, your God. Hallelujah. Man has learned many remedies. There are many physical, mental, emotional remedies offered by the shingles that hang over the doors. Medical science has improved itself thousands and thousands of percents in just the last few years. What they can do for people is unbelievable and is great and fantastic. I want to say today that I'm thankful for every time someone can relieve the pain of a human being. I want to thank God for every time somebody has had some knowledge or ability of the human body to help somebody who was in trouble. I've seen people who were injured and lay butchered beside the roadside with sharp metal and glass in their faces and in their hands and their bodies bruised and broken. I've seen men kneel beside them and stop bleeding and no doubt save life. I've seen others who could come and with a certain amount of knowledge, I've seen them apply pressure in a certain point and stop a serious pain. And I thank the Lord for that. But I want to tell you something today. God intended for his people to trust in him for their needs and not to lean on an arm of flesh. Because let me explain something to you. There comes a time, sometime, when you're going to be able, you're going to have something that you're not going to be able to be helped with. There comes a limitation and a time of limitation to every man, whether he be doctor or lawyer or king or magistrate or governor or whatever, when he cannot do for you what you need done. Amen. That's when they shake their head and say, we've done all we can do. There's nothing else we can do. You say, well, then I'll start trusting in the Lord. No, that's the mistake. We usually trust the Lord with the hard things. We usually bring the difficult cases to God. But I want to preach to you today that God wants to deal in your life in every situation. Whatever the mountain is, He wants to be able to offer you. You say, I want God to move it. He wants you to move it. You say, but I want God to help me. He wants you to help. We've made a tragic mistake by leaving all of the burden of proof on the Spirit of the Lord when the Lord actually and in actual fact gave to us the authority, the power, and the responsibility to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. They were saying, Lord, the tree that thou cursest is withered away. And he was saying, you have faith in God. You say to this mountain, you say to the mountain, say to this mountain. You say, well, I can't do that. God, you do it for me. He is not going to do all of the work for the church. He is going to do all of the work through the church. It's God's intention that if he live in our temples, that he then be glorified through our bodies. Know you not that that your body is the temple of God? If any man defile that temple, him shall God destroy. God intends for you to keep yourself in such a manner that the holiness of God remains holiness when it is about you, when it is in you, when it is on you. He expects that when His Spirit is placed in you, it does not receive the stigma of flesh, but rather receives the transparency of yourself, so that your denial brings to the surface the glory of His evident divinity, so that He is seen and not you. So that he is glorified and not your flesh. So that the Lord is magnified and not man. Hallelujah! He wants you to become nothing so that he can be everything. And yet God expects a base in his people through which he may show his mighty power and demonstrate his glory. It was a fact that God could have come and could have walked for 33 and a half years without a veil, without an image, without a temple. And man would never have known he was there. The sick might have leaped up and walked, and they would not have known who did it. The blind may instantaneously have seen, and no one would have known why. A crippled child could have gotten up on spindly limbs and suddenly walked off after being born lame, and nobody could have accounted for the reason. Nature, quirk, coincidence would have received the honor. So God made himself a form that man could see. And when he walked among men, he was tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin. Hallelujah! And when he took his body back to heaven, he didn't intend just to be a spirit roaming around the countryside, unseen and unobserved, but he took on himself another body. He says, know ye not that ye are the body of Christ? And members of that body in particular. And then he said, it shall be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. We're still asking God to pour out things on us, and he's been asking us to pour things out of us. Hallelujah. We're looking for the blessing of God to come down, and God's waiting for the blessing to come out. It needs to come out of us, a river of living water springing up into everlasting life. We make our problems manifold inasmuch as we still ask God to do what He's already done. We ask God to bless us when He's already blessed us. Ask God to strengthen us when He's already given us power. Hallelujah. Ask God to rebuke a disease when He said, I give you power over all diseases and over all devils. And what we need to learn to do is to take what God has already given to the church and stop mealy-mouthing around and stop talking about how bad off we are and say, in the name of Jesus, I come against this mountain now. If we could learn not just to bring the hard cases to God, but if we could come to Him with our everyday needs, the simple thing, the children's need, the small thing, the daily bread, the little illness, this just a little ache in the side, the little throb in the head, instead of running off to the cabinet for a bare aspirin, if we could learn, that's why God allows the trial to come. You say, well, if doctors do good things, then why shouldn't I just go visit the doctor? Because God wants you to prove His power. And God allows things to come to His church, temptation and trial, so that they may glorify the Lord and God may be magnified through His body. And when the body, which is His church, over which He is the head, does not give God due and adequate opportunity to demonstrate His power to heal, deliver, satisfy, sanctify, hallelujah, then they are taking away the image of God from the earth and removing the veil of God so that God cannot be seen. God can only be seen as long as the church demonstrates the glory of His Spirit and His power. Hallelujah. You say, God, help me. He said, you say to this mountain, glory to God. You say, Lord, bless me. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You say, Lord, I need the Spirit. He said, it'll be in you. Not in the preacher. Not in the choir. It will be in you. Hallelujah. A well of living water. An artesian. Hallelujah. You say, Lord, come down and bless us today. No. We ought to bring the blessing in the door. When we walk in the door, we bring the blessing in the door. You say, my, the Lord really came down tonight. He didn't do any such thing. He was here when you got here. What really happened is what was on the inside really came out tonight. His Spirit is in you. We've prayed prayers that belong to folks who do not even have the Holy Ghost. The kind of prayers we pray are the prayers that people pray who are not baptized with the Spirit. We're asking God to come down on us. He's already poured out the Holy Ghost on us. I say it's time for us. You say, well, that doesn't mean you need to become a spiritual smart aleck. But that means you need to understand the authority and the power that God has placed in His church. I'm still preaching about the increase of His government. I'm still saying that God's power and authority is in His church. The staff is resting between His knees and resting on His shoulder. And it will not decrease until He comes in all His glory and delivers up the kingdom to the Father. Hallelujah. And we sit and rule and reign with Him 1,000 years and go on into the eons of eternity. Hallelujah. And He is Lord of lords and King of kings. The government's still going to be on His shoulder. And as long as the church is in the earth, the government is on its shoulder because we are the body of Christ. And the only shoulder it could lean on is the shoulder of the church. And the only knee it could rest between, the feet it could rest between, the lawgiver must rest between the feet of the church. Because the church is God's body in the earth. Then why are we asking God to do something for us? Then why are we asking for God to come and help us? We need to rise up. Listen, we let little old things that should never oppress us, we let them get us down. Something terrible. Oh, God, deliver. He's not going to deliver like that. We're praying the wrong kind of a prayer. Now, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's all say our faith. Let's all say your faith. I've got faith. You've got faith. That's what's going to overcome the world. That's what's going to overcome the devil. That's what's going to overcome your problem. That's what's going to overcome your emotional situation. You say, I need to see a psychiatrist. No, you don't. You need to see Jesus. Hallelujah. High and lifted up. Praise God. You say, but I'm having all kinds of problems. He's got all kinds of answers. You say, well, I'll ask Him. No, you need to speak to that mountain. You need to say to that problem, problem, I've had you as long as I'm going to have you. I've been in this situation as long as I'm going to stay in this situation. I'm going to get up today and be healed. Hallelujah. You say, on what authority can you say that? In the name of Jesus. That is the authority. That is the power. Woo! Let's all stand. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah.
I'm not afraid for the preachers to challenge this. I'm not afraid for the devil to challenge it. I'm not afraid for the unbeliever to challenge it. I say the church has the authority to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name. Hallelujah. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, when they were told they could not preach anymore, they said, by what power or in what name did you do this? You can't take the power from the name nor the name from the power. When you call the name of Jesus, that is the authority. That's the affidavit of power. You have the right, if you call his name and have faith in God, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. You say, but this problem's been with us for 12 years. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. You say, but we've had this thing for 17 long months, Brother Hanby. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. You say, how can you do that? I can do it in Jesus' name. You say, who gave you the right? The Holy Bible. Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And instead of us praying for God to bless us, we need to be the blessing. We need to pour. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? It's in me. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because the Jesus was not yet glorified. But now he's been glorified. Now he sent the Holy Ghost back. We have received the Holy Ghost. We are witnesses of his resurrection. Praise God. How many of you believe it? I want you to become a partaker in a miracle today. I want you to take the thing that's plaguing your mind, the thing that's got your face looking like the inside of a lemon, the thing that's got your family torn up, the thing that's got your household wrecked, the thing that's got your finances all in a jam. I want you to take those things today, and I want you to speak to them while you're on your feet before you leave your seat. I don't want you to waste any time. I don't want you to come to this altar. I want you to stand right where you are, and I want you to speak to that mountain. You say, Brother Hanby, I don't know. I want you to lose your fear. The Bible said that which is not of faith is sin. You've been looking for the answer a long time. This is the answer. You've been waiting for an answer for a long time. This is the answer. You say, I don't know if it'll work. Do you believe the Word of God? Hallelujah. You got a Bible near you? Take your Bible. Just put it in one hand or put it under your arm. Amen. You say, I've been looking for truth for a long time. You can say today, oh Lord God, who is the truth? I want you to baptize me with your truth. I want you to let me see. Give me a revelation of your truth, a revelation of yourself, a revelation of your name. He'll do it. He'll do it. Hallelujah. I feel faith here now. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord here. I feel strength here. Don't pray for God to come down on you. Don't pray for God to come down and do something to you. No, no. You say, Lord, I'm going to take your Spirit that you put in my heart. That's right. The Holy Ghost that you gave unto me. I'm going to take that and on the authority of the Word of God, I'm going to speak to this mountain. I don't know what your mountain is. It won't be the same as the person standing next to you. I'm not talking about the hills down here, rolling hills. I'm not talking about out here in the hill country. I'm talking about the thing that's got you troubled. Talking about the thing that's got you down. Talking about the thing in your mind. Lay your hand on your Bible. Hold your Bible. Come on, speak to that mountain. In Jesus' name, I come against this thing. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I want to come against a spirit, Lord, that stops the ears of the hearers in a congregation. I want that spirit to be lifted so that the people of God can hear and may hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. Speak a word of faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I rebuke every spirit that cannot receive faith and cannot receive the word of the Lord. Open the heart of every hearer today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I know that you are going to heal the sick. You're going to cast off oppression. You're going to deliver those that are bound. I thank you for it, Jesus. Let's lift our hands now and worship the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Lift your face up to the Lord and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, hallelujah.